Well, good morning, friends. Good to be with you on this Tuesday morning. I believe it is May 6th. Double check real quick. May 6th, but it is good to be with you. Thanks for tuning in and watching Good Morning, as it's always our prayer that we can help you get up, get active, and have a good morning in God. So comment, chat in, let us know where you're watching us from today. What platform you're on, and we just love to build this online community, this online audience, and obviously watch what it is that God is doing and encourage one another. So good. Yeah, so today was an interesting morning getting started. Good morning, Tanisha. Good to see you. Technology is amazing, and it helps our lives, and it helps us spread the gospel, and it helps us reach more people, but every once in a while... Technology makes you want to use a few choice words. So I've been pretty proud of our studio in here, what we call studio to this side, because all I have to do is come in and say, and I don't want to say it because it'll do it, but Alexa, and then I'll wait for it to stop, but I tell it to turn on studio two. And or one or whatever one we're doing, and automatically it all just comes on. And we did all that with these plugs, and it's a pretty cool thing that you just walk in and tell it to turn this on and it does it. But every once in a while, it's just like technology says, you know what? Not today. So the screens behind me wouldn't turn on. I have one camera on the floor being plugged in to do a firmware update because it refused to turn on. And then once I got the screens on behind me, then the computer that feeds the signal of what we're putting on those screens said, not today. And so it was just that kind of day. And then so I sat down here, thought, all right, we're ready to go. And the microphone said, not today. And but by God's grace, we've got it there. So I don't know if you've ever had like, it's almost... I don't know if you've seen those movies or like, you know, discussions, whatever, but when AI turns against you, it's what I felt like today. AI was like, it's not going to happen for you today, but we overcame in Jesus' name and here we are. So, all right. Well, we've been spending this week kind of piggybacking off of what we shared, what I shared on Sunday in regards to pleasing people and being addicted to pleasing people. And, you know, sometimes as a pastor, let me just be real open with you. Not everything that we, how do I word this? Not everything that we minister, do we minister out of, for me anyway, that I have 100% victory in. Sometimes I'm ministering out of what God's showing me and what I'm working on and working through. And I will 100% say this is one of those topics. Good morning, Cheryl. Good to see you. Is that when it comes to being addicted to people's approval or people pleasing, however you want to put the terms to it, is something that I still work through and am working on. And so this is one of those topics that by God's grace, I minister out of what He's showing me and insights onto the Word of God. And I'm saying, Holy Spirit, you got to help me as well in this area. And so why I'm just excited, hey, good morning, Haley, happy Tuesday, to minister this is because it's literally what the Holy Spirit's speaking to me in my spirit. And then I'm just saying, hey, here's what I'm learning. Here's what I'm walking through. Here's what God is showing me. Not that I've mastered it, but this is what we're looking at. And so as I was studying for this message and I was trying to figure out in the Bible, man, who struggled in this area. When I came across Saul that we talked about yesterday and that verse of scripture that talked about Saul not obeying the word of the Lord because he feared the people. He feared the opinions of the people. And as a result of that, it cost him everything in his life. And I really feel like God wants to do a deep work that this week, hey, good morning, Tracy, good to see you, that this week wouldn't be, just about another week's long teaching, you know, we're in, we're out, we're getting through it, but that God wants to do something deeper and significant this week, because I think in one form or another, we can all struggle in this addiction to pleasing people and this desire for people's approval and people's praise. And of course, you know, it's always nice to have a pat on the back and somebody say, well, hey, you did a good job. You know, we all like that. But this aspect where sometimes we can be like Saul and disobey what we believe or know that God is speaking to us, or change our personality, or try to be something that we aren't. And here's what I've just found in my life. It is so tiring trying to live up to an image, to be something that we aren't naturally, to fit into a mold that we expect or think other people want us to be or fit into. It just gets exhausting. It just gets exhausting. And, you know, so all week I've been going back. I shared on Sunday about that little comedy skit where that guy just walks on to a job site and doesn't even work there, but just kind of says, well, here I am. And, you know, I've just been rehearsing that in my mind, because it's almost like I'm getting ready, and hopefully you are too, to reintroduce myself to the world and say, well, here I am. Here I am. I'm me. This is my uniqueness. This is how God made me. This is what I love. This is my sense of humor. This is my uniqueness in God's fingerprint and his masterpiece, his design for my life. This is me. This is who I am. And you may not like it, and I may not be your cup of tea, and that is okay. But I'm going to find those people in my world who I'm their cup of tea, and I'm just going to be authentically who God's called me to be, and I'm going to step out and do what he's called me to do, and I'm not going to seek the approval of other people, because I'm confident in who God's created me to be. So that's what I believe God wants to do this week. I believe he wants to do a deeper work in making us more secure in the identity of who he's called us to be. Now, let me say this. Let me just preface this in it, right? Is I believe that most personality traits, or all personality traits, are God designed. But I do believe as well is some personality traits unredeemed can lean in an area that is unhealthy. So how do I phrase this? So let me put it this way, sometimes people can have a personality, and it can be a part of their family and their culture or how they were raised or just whatever, that they're bold people. They don't mince words. They just say it like it is. They just live out, you know, they're not shy, right? I believe that boldness is a God quality. I believe that boldness would be a God piece of their identity. Now, living in an unredeemed world, we can often those personality traits can be end up being perverted, where now you're not speaking the truth of God in love, and now you're not speaking out because God told you to speak out. You're just, I'm going to tell them like it is, and you're cutting people and you're hurting people, and you hide behind the mask of, well, this is just who I am. Well, I do believe that boldness would be a God-given piece of your identity. But it's boldness that needs to be married or redeemed with the fruit of the Spirit, right? Like long-suffering, peace, patience, kindness, meekness, gentleness, self-control, right? So unredeemed, that personality trait can fly off the handle and cut people and hurt people and walk away and just say, well, I'm just who I am, and if you don't like it, deal with it. That's not what I'm talking about, right? Like often people who have anger issues are short-tempered, short-fused, are really... the source of that is very passionate people. They have a desire for justice and righteousness. And man, when somebody's doing something that they ought not to be doing, even if it has nothing to do with them, man, it angers them and it infuriates them. And man, they just fly off the handle and they're just furious. And it's like, well, what does that have to do with you? Really nothing, right? But the core of that personality is that they have a God-given desire for justice. They want to see people doing what they're supposed to be doing, people treated fairly, right? And when they don't see it, it so angers and boils up on the inside of them that they lash out and they do things that they should not do. So the God-given trait there is a desire for justice. That trait, unredeemed in an unredeemed world, will cause people to act out in ways that aren't God-honoring, all right? So if we can embrace the pieces of our personality that we can say, you know what? I'm a generous person. I love to give. I will give, 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 give. But the Bible also says he who does not provide for his own household is worse than an infidel and has denied the faith. So you can actually dishonor God by not taking care of your own house, right? And you're just giving to everybody else's house, but your own house is in shambles, right? He who does not provide for his own house is worse than an infidel and has denied the faith. So that trait to give and to want to bless other people and want to help other people, if it's coming at, often at the detriment of your own household and what God has called you to do, is that personality trait unredeemed? Good morning, Sharon. Good to see you. Good to be with you. So I just want to say that to kind of lay that groundwork is what I'm talking about isn't people living off the hinges and saying, well, I'm going to do whatever it is I want to do and say whatever it is I want to say. And if you don't like it, well, then just move on because this is me. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about finding those core pieces of your personality, the core pieces of your identity. Like I said, those parts of you that maybe are unredeemed or need to be reined in, if you really get down to the core of what causes you to be short-tempered or angry or that desire, it's that desire for justice. That's a God thing. But now let's marry that with the fruit of the Spirit. Let's get that under subjection to the Spirit of God that he can release. So I just want to say that because sometimes when you're talking about not seeking people's approval and living how God's called you to live and being who God's called you to be, often that can be misconstrued into a mentality that says, see, pastor gave me my permission slip to just say and do whatever it is I want to do and let my personality run wild. That's not what I'm saying, right? So I what I'm saying is we don't live for the approval of other people. We don't live our lives so that other people, off of their opinion and what they're going to think about us, we live our lives for an audience of one. And what I dare say is that when you're living for an audience of one, for God, you know, an audience between you and the Lord, you're going to fly off the handle a lot less. You're going to hold your tongue a lot more. I've said this for years, but the power of the Holy Spirit, the power of Pentecost is supposed to do more for us than just give us goosebumps and let us run through the church aisles, right? It's supposed to lead, guide, and direct us. The Holy Spirit's supposed to say, hey, shut up. Don't say that. Hold your tongue. Don't you dare. Don't you dare. Come on. And so if the Holy Spirit isn't convicting us and guiding us and causing us to hold our tongue and we're just living off the handle, then I dare say we need a fresh baptism of the Holy Spirit, not so that we get goosebumps, so that we can put our tongue on the altar and talk different and live different because we're living for an audience of one. We're living for him. So I just want to say that we are not just getting a permission slip today to say, hey, well, I'm doing whatever it is that I want to do and saying whatever I want to say, and you got to deal with it. No, we're saying I'm not living based off the opinions of people. I'm living based off the opinions of one, and that's God and God alone. And God would not want me to be short-tempered, and God would not want me to be quick to speak, right? And slow to listen. No, the Bible says be quick to listen and very slow to speak. So often when you're living for an audience of one, you're going to find that those personality traits, God gave you the core of it, but he's going to want to rein some of that in and say, you know what? I'm all for you being generous and being a giver, but here's where you can come in error with that. You are not called to be everybody's savior. A generous person can fall into the trap of that savior syndrome, that, you know, you're just trying to be everybody's knight in shining armor and help everybody. But in trying to help everybody and save everybody, you're hurting your own self. You're not obeying God. And often you're doing it at the expense of your own family. So are we called to help people? Yep. But that's where we got to listen and live for an audience of one. And sometimes learn to say, you know what? I can't help you in that situation. Why? God didn't tell me to. And not say, well, what are they going to do? How are they going to? That's up to God. That's between them and God, right? So again, even in a personality that's generous and giving can fall into a trap of that savior mentality that you know, you're ruining your life because you're just trying to save everybody. So we get down to the core of that good trait that God has given us, and we get that redeemed. So open up to, let's look at a verse of scripture found here in Galatians chapter 1, verse 10. It says, obviously, I am not trying to win the approval of people, but of God. If pleasing people were my goal, I would not be Christ's servant. If being popular was my goal, I would have chosen a different faith. If being popular was my goal, I would not be a follower of Christ, right? Because Christ says, no, when you're following me, you lay down your lives, you less of us and more of him. It's not, you know, he said that if they hated me, they're going to hate you. If they rejected me, they're going to reject you, right? Like, I didn't get into this game to be popular. I got into this thing to be a follower of Jesus Christ. And that means that sometimes we are not going to please people with our decisions, with our standards, with our lifestyle. And here's what's so interesting is I often think about that, you know, and I just use this in the realm of giving because, you know, a lot of people in the world, when they think about the church or they think about faith and all, you know, the first thing, oh, all the church wants is your money. All the church wants is your money, right? And I'm not here to preach about money and all that today, but what I'm saying is, but yet you can talk to somebody who's like, oh yeah, man, you know, I've been playing the lottery every day, or, you know, oh, we're taking a girl's trip and we're going down to Vegas and we're going to gamble. And not one person would be like, you know, don't you think that's a waste of money? And maybe, and I know there are some people who win, but listen, and don't judge me on this, right? You know, I'm not here to preach about gambling, but I went into a casino one time in my life, and I went in with some friends, and they're like, oh man, you're going to love this. I went in with $100. Within 30 minutes, we just were putting the coins in the machines and pulling the little lever things or whatever. My $100 was gone, and I didn't win anything. So for me, I thought, well, this is stupid. I mean, I came in with $100, and I'm leaving $100 less. I didn't get anything out of it. So that whole thing that people, you know, the gambling addiction or the drive to that, doesn't compute with me at all, because to me, it's like I got zero return on my investment. But my point is, you know, the world can say, oh man, get that car payment that's $900 a month. You know, get the house that's, you know, 12 bedrooms that somehow you got to figure out how to clean every weekend, right? Like, you know, like they would have nothing to say. Like they'd have pat you on the back for that. But when they would look at you saying, you know, what the Bible says, give and it shall be given unto you, pressed down, shaken together and running over, right? David said, I've been young and I've been old, but never have I seen the righteous forsaken nor his seed begging for bread. Like there's a giving, a sowing and reaping principle in scripture that says, when you plant, God's going to give it back to you. Like, but when the world would look at that and say, well, why would you do that? But have no problems on people wasting their money on cars that they can't afford or houses that they can't afford or gambling that's just taking your money, whatever, fill in the blank. But when it comes to faith, everyone's got a problem with it, right? I often tell people, listen, as long, like even when it comes to, that's right, it's easy to say when they're not the one paying the cost, 100% Tanisha. You know, like, listen, I'm not trying to raise money for a ministry jet. But here's what I tell people. They're like, oh, what do you think about that preacher who's trying to raise money for a jet? Raise money for a jet. Listen, here's what I say. As long as you tell people what you're raising money for and they want to give, let them do it. Like, what is it your problem if a televangelist says, hey, I want to buy a ministry jet to, and listen, I don't like heights, so I doubt that's going to be on my on my, you know, my list, right? But I always tell people, as long as they're being honest about where they're putting the money, that's people's money. And if they want to give to it, that's their business. It's none of the world's business. And I'm saying all this to say is when it comes to obeying God and doing what God's asked you. Now, God, somebody else might be watching that and saying, well, I don't want to give to his jet. Well, then don't give to it, right? Like, that's between you and the Lord. But if God's leading people to be generous and to give and to sow into the kingdom and advance the kingdom of God, the world often is going to look at that and say, you are crazy. What are you doing? Why are you giving your money to that? Why are you putting money into the church? Why are you, you know, giving money to that TV preacher? Why are you doing? And listen, they're not going to be happy about it because it puts a spotlight on, they don't understand it, right? Just as I don't understand going into a casino and putting money into a machine that ain't getting no return on. And maybe if I won, I would be preaching different to you right now. But my point is, a lot of times in the kingdom of God, it when you're following kingdom principles, it says, pray for your enemies. Do good to those who persecute you. Right? Like, that doesn't compute with the world. Well, they're your enemies. Why are you praying for them? Don't you know they hate you? Why are you anonymously blessing them? Why are you doing that? That's not what you're supposed to do. Like, when we signed up to, you know, or not signed up, but we became followers of Jesus, we became followers of a different way. We entered into a different kingdom, a different set of rules and principles and lifestyles that we understand that the Bible says that when you want to be exalted, what do? You don't climb the corporate ladder and cut other people down and do whatever you got to do to try to grab at the top seat. No, the Bible says the greatest among you will be the greatest servant. That when you want to be exalted, what do? You bow low and you serve others. The world says, well, that's dumb. That's not how you do it. Bible says when you want to be blessed, when you need income into your life, don't rob, cheat, and steal and hoard up for yourself. No, the Bible says give. I have a financial need in my life. Here's a solution according to your Bible. Give and it shall be given back unto you, right? And this is like total opposite of the kingdom of this world. So when you become a follower of Jesus, a follower of the way, you've got to understand that you are supposed to be operating in a kingdom that is, like Rod Parsley would say, mutually exclusive and diametrically opposed to the kingdom of this world. That we don't walk like the world, we don't talk like the world, we don't live like the world, we don't give like the world, we don't act like the world, we're in the world, but we're not of this world. We are of the kingdom of heaven. And that will often require us to make decisions for us and our house, for our finances and our house, for our generosity and our house, for our forgiveness and our house, than the world's. The world will say, well, you have every right. You have every right to be bitter and angry and never forgive that person, that step parent, that brother, that sister, that coworker for what they did. You don't let them off the hook. But now you come into the kingdom of God. And God says, listen, you want me to forgive you? Then you forgive others. It's actually very dangerous. You know, most even deliverance that happens, like demon deliverance, the core root of all of that is the root of unforgiveness. Unforgiveness is so dangerous. It opens your life up to demonic influence, where at some levels that people need actually demon deliverance. Jesus said, I can't forgive you unless you forgive other people. He says, listen, when you're coming to bring your gift to the altar, if you have aught in your heart against another person, leave before you even give your gift. You leave that at the altar and you go make it right with that other person. So what I'm saying all this to say is just to highlight some things in the Christian faith and in following Jesus that are going to set you apart from the world. What you do with your money is going to be different than the world. What you do with forgiveness is going to be different with the world. How you raise your kid and what you let your kids watch on television is going to be different from what you do with the world. You know, than what the world does. Oh, that show's fine. It doesn't hurt anything. We hear from all the time from people. Well, they're gonna learn about it one day. They're gonna see it one day. Well, that day don't have to be today, right? like we have an obligation as stewards of our children, as given by God to guard over our children, to protect what they hear, what they see, what they listen to. So I'm saying all this to say is when you become a follower of Jesus, you are living in a different kingdom. You are living in a different realm, a different world, a different set of rules. So do not think it's strange that when you really start to follow Jesus, that other people are going to come out and say, you don't got to really act that way. Come on, I get it, but you don't got to be that extreme. You're being too extreme with it. Am I following Jesus or am I not? So if my goal is to be friends with this world, if my goal is to look just like this world, then I can't be a follower of Jesus. Because to follow Jesus means my life is going to look different than the systems and the patterns of this world. And not everyone is going to like it. And, I love that one line of a Taylor Swift song that says, people throw rocks at things that shine. Because often the attack doesn't even come from the world. Often the attack comes from the opinions of people inside the church or inside the kingdom of God. Why? Well, and I said this before, but when people give up on their dreams or people, or maybe struggling in an area of their life, like they're struggling financially and they're not following the principles of God and they're not, and they don't want to, and I'm just using giving as an example. Please, this goes, let's talk about forgiveness. They don't want to forgive. They want to hold on to that bitterness because it makes them feel justified. It makes them feel righteous to hold on to that grudge. And they see other people in the church giving their testimony of how they forgave and how God set them free. It's presenting them with a choice. Well, am I going to follow the way or not? And so that's how we overcome by word of our testimony, right? So when it's presented to them, what they want to do is instead of confronting their own issue is to pull somebody else down. Because as long as I can get people to stay in unforgiveness just like me, I feel secure in my world of anger and bitterness. If I can get people to gossip and be in anger and be, all of that just like me, then it doesn't shine a light on my brokenness. Well, we're all that way, right? No, but when people start walking free, it shines a light on those who are still in bondage. So what do people do? Taylor Swift said it, they throw rocks at things that shine. And sometimes people get in bondage to their bondages. They don't know life outside of that burden. They don't know life outside of poverty. They don't know life outside of being angry and bitter. They don't know life walking in health and healing. So the thought of even giving that up and trying to follow a different path is scary. So we just have to get comfortable. If we are going to follow Jesus, that our lives are going to be on a different path than the world's and oftentimes even people inside the church. So you have to get comfortable. You have to get a thick skin about your decisions. And this is where your relationship with the Holy Spirit, this is why we talk about this so much. Your relationship with the Holy Spirit has to be so strong because if you, if you don't take a stand for something, you'll fall for anything. If you aren't convinced of what God has spoken to you and you aren't convinced of what his word says and you aren't convinced on the plan and the purpose of God, then what will happen is somebody will come into your life from the world, from the church, a brother, a sister, whatever, and try to change what you believe God is asking and calling you to do and convince you, well, your kids don't need that or you don't got to do that and you don't have to give that and you don't have to cut that out and you can watch this movie and you can go here and whatever, fill in the blank. Come on, you can use a few little cuss words here and there, ain't never hurt nobody, whatever. And what begins to happen is because, well, I'm not, is that what God really wants for me? And I don't know, maybe I'm misinterpreting that scripture and I don't know. Maybe I am being too legalistic. Maybe I am, you know, just too deep into this Jesus thing. And what's going to happen is you're going to begin to lower your standards and you're going to begin to draw back from the purpose of God. Why? Because you did not know the truth of what God spoke to you, what God said to you, what the Holy Spirit was leading you in. I can't tell you how many times where the Holy Spirit told me to not do something that everybody else in the church was able to do. I don't know why. Now, what I'm not going to do is I'm not going to stand in judgment of other people, because I'm going to follow what the Holy Spirit said to me and not put my word and make it their word. Do you understand what I'm saying? Because oftentimes the Holy Spirit might tell me not to do something, but he didn't tell them not to do something because it has nothing to do maybe with the actual thing. Like maybe the actual thing of itself isn't sin, but it's a test in my life. Am I willing to lay it down? Am I willing to follow the Holy Spirit? Am I willing to go against the grain? Often what we do is we then stand in judgment of other people and say, well, No, God told me not to do that, and you're all living in sin. Well, he didn't tell them not to do that, then they're not in sin. Come on. But if he told me not to do it, then that's all I got to worry about, me and my house. So we have to be okay in going against the grain. I got one scripture out, and that was it. John 5, I read this on Sunday, but I thought it was so good. It says, your approval means nothing to me because I know you don't have God's love within you. No wonder you can't believe, for you gladly honor each other, but you don't care about the honor that comes from the one who alone is God. That's John 5, 41 to 44 in the NLT version. No wonder you can't believe, for you gladly honor each other, but you don't care about the honor that comes from the one who alone is God. Again, that's just affirming. We live for an audience of one. We live for an audience of one. So really, really quick today, a few symptoms of having that addiction to people's approval is that fear of rejection, that you interpret your worth by whoever accepts you, brings you into their fold. I told you on Sunday, and I don't have a lot of time to dig into this today, but sometimes rejection is God getting you where you need to go. Told you on Sunday that God hears conversations that you did not hear. God heard what they said behind your back. God knows the intentions of people's hearts. So if God removed them from your life, let them go. Let them go. Quit grieving over it. Quit hanging there. Quit getting your worth because they walked away. God probably removed them, all right? And sometimes people leave our lives and it wasn't because they did anything bad or they said anything bad or God took them out. Maybe God changed their assignment and our relationship changed. And that's all that it is to it. Let's not fall under that trap always either, that, well, you know, hey, they left the church. They're not following God anymore. Maybe God sent them somewhere else to help start another church or to help in this. Like, who knows, all right? Where we need to get to is less worried about why was it me? Was it what they said? Was it what I said? And just saying, well, Lord, what's next? What's next? My worth isn't based off of who is in or out of my life. My worth is based off of Jesus and what he says about me, and that's who I am. So some may come, some may go, some may stay for a lifetime. And I celebrate all of them. I celebrate their seasons in my life. I celebrate what they brought into my life. I celebrate, those relationships, why they were here, but I'm not going to get caught up because they ended. You know, I think about, man, we are going deep, but not getting far today, but that's all right. I think about one of the greatest revelations of my life. And I don't want to go into details of all of this, but there was a season in my life where I was involved in a ministry that I had perceived in that time that God had would be my forever assignment. And, a lot of stuff had happened, and I was clinging for years to the hope that things would be brought back or restored the way that they were. And just saying, well, this has to be what I believe God wanted. This is what I believed was his will. And I just kept saying, I can't see any other alternative. This is what it is. And then God spoke to me two ways, one spiritual and one unspiritual. Sorry, so I have a little bit of a cough. So trying to hold that cough back real quick. I don't know about any of you, but maybe sometimes God uses unspiritual things to speak with you. And for me, sometimes it was a country music song. And I won't call her out here today, but I know she's on the live. But I happened to see this sister in the Lord at a Joe D. Messina concert. And I said, man, I didn't know you like country music and Joe D. Messina. And she's like, listen, Joe D. Messina brought me through the ending of a relationship I had in my life. And I thought, and I said, listen, Joe D. Messina, her song, Bye Bye. And I'm not telling you to go listen to it, but her song, Bye Bye, I'll See You Later. Got my left foot down on the accelerator. Something about the rear view mirror's torn off. And I ain't ever looking back. And I remember hearing that song on the radio. And I remember feeling the urge of the Holy Spirit just almost saying, this is where you need to be. Is that assignment is over and it's changed. I remember thinking, no. This is a country music song. That's not how God can speak to me through Joe D. Messina. Come on. And anyway, I ended up then got spiritual about it and I was reading the Word of God. And I was reading the verse of scripture where Paul got shipwrecked. And if you study that out and you look at that the ship was their hope. It was their, how they were going to travel, how they were going to get from point A to point B. But the story, if you read that verse of scripture, says that, you know, the storm came, the ship began to break apart, and many of them were holding on to pieces of the ship for dear life. And then they ended up getting to an island, you know, revival happened, the snake bite thing happened to Paul and he shook it off and a revival happened and people ended up getting, like, the island was the next assignment. And I was reading that and I remember the Holy Spirit speaking to me where it says that some of them were clinging to pieces of the ship. And I remember the Holy Spirit speaking to me is they thought the ship was the destination. So no wonder they're holding on to it because that was their hope. It was their, they thought it was their destination. But really, the ship was just a means for them to get from point A to point B. The ship was just a tool that God used to get them from where they were to where they were going. And when God no longer had use of the ship, it broke apart. And when the Holy Spirit spoke to me, I thought, man, here I'm trying to hold on. What was God was just using as a tool in a season of my life to get me from where I was to where I needed to be. I grew in that season. I learned in that season. I matured in that season. That ship served a purpose. It had a role. It had a part. It was a piece of the destiny, but it wasn't the destined port. And I submit to you that, listen, if you are ever going to get confident in not relying on the opinions of other people, you're going to have to be good at letting go. Things will come in, things will go out, people will come and people will go. You have to be good at grasping what's in front of you, but letting go of what God's calling you to let go of. Because not every ship is a destination. Most ships are sent on an assignment to get you from where you are to where you're going. And dare I say that sometimes people will come into your life for one purpose and one purpose only, and that's to teach you something, to reveal something to you, to grow you in an area. Maybe even an adversary will come into your life, and God sent that Goliath into your life. Why? So that you could learn that the God who brought down that, did this thing, is the same God who will bring down that Goliath in your life. So if we're going to get confident in following God, we're going to have to get good at grasping what's in front of us. And when God says, let it go, and I listen, here's what, don't misunderstand what I'm saying. I am certainly not saying that we use people as a stepping stone or a ladder, we, you know, to climb the corporate ladder, and I use you for this. That's not what I'm saying at all. Is sometimes we can hold people back from their destiny by trying to convince them, you know, maybe God sent you into somebody's life. You know, and man, they've been a great friend, but now God's calling them to move and do something else. Move to the other side of the country. And you're like, oh man, you're trying to convince them to stay. But in doing so, you're stopping the plan of God for them. So all I'm saying is we just have to get good at rejection. My mom taught me this years ago, and I quote it all of the time, probably my top quoted thing that I say to myself or other people. But God gave Jonah an opportunity when he was running, when God told him to go to Nineveh, and he said no, and he started running. God gave him many opportunities to repent and go back to Nineveh. Repent, go back to Nineveh. And time and time and time and time again, Jonah said, no, 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 no. So now he's on this ship and God's giving him every warning. The storm is coming. You know, it's starting to get ugly. And he wouldn't get off the boat. And long story short, the storm got so bad that they actually threw him off the boat. And here's what my mom used to say to me. Get off the boat when God's telling you to get off the boat, or it'll get so bad that they're going to have to throw you off the boat. So the wisdom is that in that is to release it and let it go when God says it. Because if you don't, it's not like God's going to say, all right, well, if you don't really want to do that, that's okay. No, he's going to do whatever he's got to do to get you where you need to be. And sometimes when you don't let go of those relationships, or you don't let go when God tells you to let go, things are going to get so bad that you're going to get thrown off of it. And it's going to be a whole lot worse and a whole lot more painful than if you just yielded to the Holy Spirit when he said to go. You know, and that might be mean. God's calling you to lay down that job and pursue something else or go back to school. Or God might be saying, hey, you know, I need you to, that, you know, that friend's been toxic. I need you to cut that out of your life. And you're saying, God, but no, I can't quit. I can't cut that relationship. I can't walk away. What am I going to do? What are they going to do? What are they going to think of me? Whatever. If you don't do it when God puts his finger on it, listen, he's going to get you off the boat. Why? Because he loves you enough to get you off the boat. But he's going to have to use a storm. He's going to have to cause all kind of chaos and whatever to get you off that boat. So the better thing is to say, you know what? Hey, can y'all just stop this boat real quick? Before the storm comes, before y'all get angry at me, before you have to throw me off the side of the ship, I'm not in the will of God. I got to make some adjustments in my life and I got to get off this boat. I got to go where God's called me to go. Love y'all. Come on, how much better would that have been for those sailors? How much better would that have been for Jonah? He wouldn't have had to spend 3 nights and 3 days in the belly of a whale if he got off and God told him to get off. But often the fear of rejection, the fear of people's opinions will cause us to stay longer than God ever called us to stay. Get off when God's telling you to get off. Yeah, exactly, Cheryl. We may end up being 3 days where we don't want to be. That's right, in that belly of the whale. So again, all of this is going back to the root of being addicted to people's approval. Why? Because we fear their rejection. I'm saying, let's celebrate rejection. Let's celebrate it. You don't want me? Great. It just means it's a closed door. It just means it's a closed door and God has the right door. They fire you from the company. Well, then fine. Then you didn't see my value. Then I probably shouldn't be at a place where you don't see my value anyway. My trust isn't in you. My trust isn't in the company. My trust isn't in the relationship. My trust isn't in a denomination. My trust isn't in another person. I live for an audience of one. My trust and my confidence and my security is in God and God alone. I live for an audience of one. So if doors are closing all around me and people are walking away from me and God's telling me to lay this thing down and go over here and cut that person off and you know, stop listening to that gossip. And we're saying, but God, they're going to reject me. Good. And I promise God will bring the right people into your path when you are able to say, so be it unto me. I mean, you look at little 14-year-old virgin girl, Mary, who had a visitation from the angel that said, hey, by the way, I know you're a virgin, but the Holy Spirit is going to come on you and he's going to impregnate you and you're going to be pregnant by God. You don't think there was a fear of rejection from her spouse, you know, her fiance, explaining that to your mom, to your dad, to the community? I mean, come on. But what did she say? So be it unto me, according to your word. I would rather be rejected by man, rejected by my fiance, but carry in my belly what God wants me to birth in this life. I would rather be rejected by all men and carry the burden, carry the plan, carry the destiny of God, than abort, if you will, the plan of God, just so I can be accepted by man. And can I say to you, just like Mary literally carried the Messiah in her belly, you carry destiny in your belly. You carry a God assignment in your belly. You carry a God vision and a God dream in your belly. You are pregnant, if you will, by the Holy Spirit, maybe not with a natural baby, but with a spiritual baby, with a spiritual DNA, with a spiritual destiny, with a spiritual plan, with a spiritual purpose and a calling for your life. And if you are more concerned about what that calling and how that, you know, the opinions of other people, you will end up aborting the call and the purpose of God. So we have to break off the addiction for the approval of other people. If we're going to follow Jesus, we have to be like Mary. We have to be like that comedian I keep talking about. Here I am. Here I am. Unashamedly me. As Mary did, here I am. So be it unto me. 14-year-old virgin, you could have chose anybody else, but you chose me. Ah, Tanisha, such a powerful, that's right, verse of scripture, Jeremiah 1:8, do not be afraid of their faces, for I am with you to deliver you, says the Lord. Do not be afraid of their faces. Do not be afraid of their faces. Again, this deliverance of the fear of people was all throughout your Bible. That's Old Testament. It's in the Old Testament. It's in the New Testament. If you're going to follow God, you cannot be afraid of their faces. You cannot be worried about the opinions of man. It will abort your destiny faster than anything else. I know I'm way over time today, so let me pray for you. Father, I thank you in the name of Jesus for every person who's watching and listening right now. Lord, we believe with all of our hearts that you do have a plan and a purpose and a destiny on the inside of us. I believe there's a call of God on the inside of each and every one of us to do incredible things in our lifetime to advance the kingdom of God. Maybe to raise warriors who are mighty men and women in the kingdom of God, and we are to steward and parent them. That's a call. That's a purpose. That's a destiny. Maybe it's to hold a microphone on a platform. Maybe it's to be a missionary on the other side of the world. Maybe it's to serve our government in military service, all while being a light for you. Whatever that looks like in our world, Father, we know we have a call, a specific, unique call that we are pregnant with. And Lord, we will not give up that dream. We will not abort that dream because we are afraid of their faces. So would you help us? Would you break off that addiction and that desire for the approval of other people, that fear of being rejected? Would you help us celebrate rejection as road signs to getting to where we need to be? And I understand that some rejection can be hard. Some rejection can just be a slap in the face that we didn't expect. But we don't serve a God who's surprised by man. We serve a God who laid the foundations of this earth long before we were ever here. We serve a God who goes into our tomorrow long before we ever get there. The Bible says that he makes the crooked path straight, that he breaks apart the gates of brass and the bars of iron. So Father, we understand that even if men reject us, you've gone ahead of us and you've made a way and you've made a path and you've opened gates and you've done whatever it is that we need to get us where we need to go. So we don't look to man, we don't look to the wisdom of man, but we look to you. We look to you, Father. In Jesus' mighty name, amen and amen and amen. Thanks so much for being on with me today. I hope this teaching, I know I didn't get far my notes today, but I think you just are flowing in the Holy Spirit today and sharing what God wants to share. But man, I'm enjoying this teaching right here, because man, it's hard, you know, and when you're leading a church, you're leading people, it's hard being in leadership and not fearing people, you know what I mean? But so I'm digging into this. I'm receiving from this today. Cheryl says, help us keep our eyes, our hope, and our hearts set on you, O Lord, that I may be able to obey you quickly. Yes, no matter what anyone else says, thinks, or does. Amen. You know, I try to read your comments as much as I can, only because, as I've been telling you all week, we've been now trending over 1,000 people a day watching or listening to this broadcast. And most of that's not on social media, but it's or on Facebook or YouTube. Most of it's on Pioneer Network. And we have just been exploding on Spotify for some reason. And I know on Spotify, most people are listening and not watching. So if I see some of your good comments come in, I try to read them as best I can so that those who are listening to this will be able to see what y'all are preaching along with me. I got so many good co-preachers in here with me, and I appreciate it. So I'll be back with you tomorrow. Don't forget, tomorrow we've got Wednesday night prayer. Jen's going to continue her teaching during the service at 7 p.m., prayer at 6:30 p.m. It's been so good. So I'll see you tomorrow morning right here at 8 a.m., and it's going to be good. So I'll see you then. Have a blessed day. In Jesus' name.